You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right, 5 o'clock on a Friday. Happy hours here, everyone. Glad to have you with us.
I have a question I have to ask you. I'm just running across something on social media. I'm like, okay. Bulldog might know this. I have no idea.
That doesn't have anything to do with the WNBA and...
No, it does not.
Okay.
It has to do with Zach Bryan. Do you know Zach Bryan?
Zach Bryan, Luke Bryan, Luke Combs.
Right? Like, Zach Bryan. Yeah. I don't know Zach Bryan. I think he's is he a country singer?
Yeah. I think they all are. But I have trouble keeping the Bryans straight. Anyway, you want to know about which one now? Zach or Luke?
Zach,
okay.
Zach, I don't know the backstory on this. I just happened to read a tweet that he wrote. Someone wrote to him that he's singling out a fan base about something. And he said, please understand, I will never play Kansas City. I will never play in Kansas City. And I'm like, what is this all about?
I don't know. See, I confuse the two of them.
Yeah.
So I don't... One of them had... There was some backstory of, like, the girlfriend and, like, mistreatment or something. And maybe she's affiliated with Barstool or something. Like, there's been something there, I think, with one of them. And I should stop talking. That is as far as I can venture into.
Maybe the bullpen can help me out here
in
real time.
What is the
Zach Bryan won't play in Kansas City story? Is it something like really serious? Is it something sports related? Is it something
I don't know.
Related? Yeah. I'm just curious. I thought that was like, what is going on here?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Headlines you never thought you'd see. Cryptocurrency company takes credit for sex object tossing on the floor. Where are we?
All of the AI generated Facebook things I'm seeing are just so bad now. They're so unbelievable.
The worst.
And people actually believe them. I mean, they believe them. And I'm like, Josh Allen's adopting babies around the world every day now.
The sports content that I see on my Facebook feed Yeah, it's borderline criminal because, like, thankfully my parents don't have, they don't have the internet. If they did and they had Facebook accounts, I feel like every other day my dad would be calling me like, why is Matt Milano yelling at the rookie offensive lineman? I'm like, that's not real, Dad.
Right.
It's not real.
I mean, I saw one the other day, like the training camp is about to open and there's this story on, I go on Facebook and I see some AI thing about former Bill Mac Holland says how much he regrets signing with the Patriots. He wants to come back with the Bills. And I'm like, and people are believing it. I'm reading the comments.
No, this isn't real.
This is not real. Like, this is such a random thing to put on there, too, right?
Please stop.
Is this you who wrote he's an Eagles fan? Is that correct? Zach Bryan's an Eagles fan?
Oh, okay.
Okay, thank you. That solves it, I guess.
That explains that, then. Yeah, he's not a secret Bills fan.
No.
As it turns out.
And it's sports-related, apparently. So
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Let's fire it back up. 803-0550 is the number. We do have, let's not forget about reverse AFC power rankings. All right. There it is.
Got to make it sound like
ruffle the paper. I love it. But more calls right now. 803-0550 is the number. Let's get Dominic in right now. Hi, Dominic. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hi. How's it going? I'm Dominic.
All right, Dominic. It's nice to talk to you.
So I would like to talk about James Cook not getting paid, and he's also not showing up to training. What is that?
Well, he's there, actually. He is with the team. He's taking part in all the meetings and all the things that everybody's doing. The only thing he's not doing, Dominic, is actually practicing because he would like to have a new contract, and the team wants to give him a new contract. They just can't decide on how much that is, and he does not want to get hurt while that's happening, because then that would kind of hurt his value. In the meantime, he's also trying to show that, you know, hey, if I'm going to not be on the team, then, you know, you guys, you'll see how valuable I am. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think, buddy?
You know, I personally do not think James Cook is worth $15 million. And if he were worth $15 million, I'd say we trade him. He's not worth it. We could pick up anybody else.
Okay.
Josh Jacobs, I heard, is looking for a new team.
Dominic, I'm about – here's where I am. If you were to say the phrase, running backs don't matter, I would want to congratulate your parents. probably missed that. It's all right.
My preference is the most important position on the field is QB. Without your QB, you're nothing. You're nothing.
Wow, he is fired up.
Dominic is fired up. All right, good deal. Love it. All right, good deal, Dominic. Let's go to Kevin up next. Hi, Kevin. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
How you doing? I am calling in regards to, there was an article today on heavy.com in regards to James Cook, and when he came out of college, he was more of a receiving back, almost like a, compared to Alvin Kamara, and why the Bills are not utilizing him in that way, getting him more balls out of the backfield because he's so explosive and in free space. I was wondering, Bulldog or Sal, if you had any opinions on that.
Well, I think James Cook's career has morphed a little bit here since the Bills got him.
Yeah,
he was definitely drafted for that reason.
They pivoted to him when the McKissick thing kind of fell apart, and Brandon Bean, even himself after the draft, referred to him as a sub back, which is basically like third down back. Like, he's not my number one guy, and that has changed.
And here's the answer that I would give you, Kevin. James Cook isn't the best pass blocker in the world. So if you put him on the field on third down, there's only so many options you're going to have with him that the defense completely knows, right? Which is, James Cook's on the field. Well, I'm blitzing the quarterback and having an opportunity for this back who's smaller and not the best pass protector to get to him, or he's just going out there for a pass route. When you have Ty Johnson back there, or even Ray Davis now, it at least gives the defense something else to think about on third down. So it's not as easy for any fan just to look and say, why don't you throw the ball to James Cook out of the backfield more? You could do that on first and second down. That's right. You couldn't do that. He's also a really good running back. What I mean by his career morphing is he's become an excellent running back between the tackles.
Yep.
The Bills see a lot of lighter boxes, less guys in the box because teams have to respect Josh Allen, what he has to do throwing the ball. That's James Cook time, right? So I think all of this is a part of the puzzle and a part of the pie. Whatever article you read is not incorrect. They drafted him to be a third down receiver, to be a receiving back. But to be a receiving back, a lot of times that includes making sure you're catching the ball on third down. Well, to do that, you have to be on the field on third down, and they don't trust him as much
to be
on the field
on third down.
You have to be
a good pass blocker to be on third down. That's right. So, yeah, and that sort of going back to Dominic's call about, you know, the contract demands, like that's where the disconnect, I think, lies. Like the Bills, I think, should, I certainly do, I would advocate for them wanting to use their backfield and the personnel there almost exactly like they did last year. And so that limits how much Cook is going to be on the field, 47 or 48% of the snaps last year, because of this third down thing. Like, as Josh Allen, on one hand, the other day, is talking about how much they love James Cook and want to see everybody get their money and we understand what's going on, he also will tell you he thinks Ty Johnson, you know, say what you will about this, is the best third down back in the league. So, yep. Like, your quarterback is telling you both things. Like, we certainly want James Cook here, but he's also telling you we value the guy that plays that third down role enough for me to call him the best third down back in the league. I don't want to change. I don't want to see the Bills change any single thing about how they handle their backfield reps. I think it's a perfect system. The problem for James Cook is he's not going to be given the opportunity to demonstrate he can handle that third down stuff because there's somebody entrenched there. I mean, they re-signed Ty Johnson. They didn't let him go in free agency. They prioritized him enough to get him back here. So that is just naturally going to limit the amount of money they should want to pay him. If they're not going to use him like, say, the Rams are using Kyren Williams or the Eagles are using Saquon Barkley, those are two very different players, by the way. Barkley is elite at almost everything he does. Kyren Williams, I don't think I would want him over James Cook if I were putting my football team together, but he is more versatile. He's more trusted. He's on the field more. He plays all three downs for the Rams. He's close to 90% snap share, which is almost twice what Cook is. So, and he didn't get anywhere near no $15 million. He got 11 a year and 23 guaranteed. So the sweet spot for Cook has got to be more in that range than it is up in the mid-teens, I would say. And so, I don't know. How are you feeling as we go through this hold-in process about Cook and about, I don't know, is there optimism getting a deal done? I have not sensed any sort of change in the Bills' position. I think they'd like to do something, but it's got to be at a number that they're going to want to live with. And we haven't gotten close enough yet. So, I don't know. Like, well, are you sensing something in the air there that could come?
I don't think imminently, but I do think there's motivation on both sides to get something done. Like, I'll read you a tweet we got a little while ago, all right? This is a tweet from AD. It says, Sal and Bulldog, it's clear from Bean's remarks he dislikes holdouts in principle. Yeah, or hold-ins, I guess. This is his first. You know, he said, what did he say with Jeremy and Joe? 9 years here, it's the first time this has happened.
Right.
It's disappointing for me. And he takes pride, right?
Sure.
That's prideful, no doubt about it. He said, so how can he turn around and reward Cook with a new contract? It would set precisely the precedent he wants to avoid. I don't think it's about that. It's not about rewarding James Cook and saying, oh, and then he said if he does, he would cave. I think this is agent-driven. This is James Cook. I think the Bills feel James Cook is probably getting bad advice, that he should have not handled it this way. They're not happy with it, but that's not personal against James Cook. So AD or anybody else, any contract James Cook gets, I don't think it's caving. I think it's, hey, let's try to work something out, but it takes two to make this work out.
Yep.
I don't think Brandon Bean is about to just give everything that James Cook and his agent want. They need James Cook and his agent to want to come together on some sort of deal. I think there's motivation on both sides. They want to get this done. How long it lasts, how long it goes, I'm not really sure. It's a great question, but I don't think it's just got to be black and white that one side has to give into the other. It has to be both sides thinking, let's try to find some middle ground here, which I think at least from what I look at, the way the Bills are trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Caving. I mean, it's the NFL.
Right.
This happens, right? The Bills have had, like Bean said earlier this week, the smoothest trip in this regard you could have for all these years here. It stands to reason that eventually someone is not going to just take the first deal that gets thrown in front of them. And, you know, I don't think that it would set a bad precedent that regardless of what's going on with James Cook, there will probably be another one of these someday, somewhere, somehow. It's just, stands to reason. I mean, it's just business in the NFL. Guys have that opportunity. Like, it's just, we're so far from the he's got a contract, shut up and play. Like, I mean, that's been gone for 20 years. You know, I just feel like people that come out with that kind of a take have not been paying attention to the way the business is done in the league. I mean, theoretically, of course, I understand what you're saying. Yes, the person signed that piece of paper and made that deal, but they get torn up and done over all the time.
How come you know what I never hear? How come I never hear the other side where people say, well, the team signed a deal, they should honor it when a guy gets cut?
Right, right.
If you can get cut in the NFL. Right. Team signed a deal, they can cut you. So anybody who says, shut up and play, you signed a contract. Well, do you think the same thing about a team that signed a contract but cuts a player after 2 years? I mean, let's take Bail Inspector. They signed a contract, a four-year contract. He hasn't been able to perform and be on the field. Mm-hmm. They released him. I don't hear one Bills fan saying the Bills should they should honor that contract.
That wasn't fair.
That wasn't fair. They signed him. Right. That's not how it works.
That's the way the game is. 803-0550 is the number. Thank you for the call. Greg is next up. Hi, Greg. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Good, thanks.
I just want to give my opinion on why I think that Cook is having such a hard time signing the contract that he wants. It's just a change of the game over the past 20 years. You know, a running back years ago, Thurman Thomas type guy, could be on the field three downs, you know. But mm-hmm. Saquon Barkley, those guys don't exist anymore. It's very, very rare. So the change in the game and having a guy that's an elite athlete at a running back position that can actually go out into the field but also be a pass protection guy, it's very, very rare. And I think the root cause of that is because college football and the NFL are so different. It's just you have the lines and the interior of the game. You have much more strength, much more power, and I don't think a lot of guys can make that transition. That's my opinion.
All right. Good weekend. Thanks. You for the call, Greg. Appreciate it very much. Yeah, man. You mentioned Thurman Thomas there. And I don't know how much you've ever talked to Thurman Thomas about the amount of pride he took in his pass blocking. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that was he was fierce about it.
Yes.
I sat it's one of my favorite stories ever. It's story time with Uncle Bulldog,
sure.
Okay? I'm not sure if I've ever told you this or maybe you've heard it over the years. My first or second training camp covering the team down in Fredonia, like I was like you going down there. I was doing my nighttime show, 5 hours working out of like a construction trailer on campus. But we lived down there Monday to Friday. I would go home on the weekends, but it was like a month, right? And so, you know, going into town on a Wednesday night after a day of work, I'd get done at 11 o'clock. And I went out one time with Vip Carucci and Leo Roth. Leo worked with the DNC, covering the Bills on the beat. And the three of us went out and we went to, you know, the popular spot in Fredonia. And at the time, I think Vic had already written a book with Jim Kelly or was working on a book with Jim Kelly. Either way, Vic sort of fell in. We went into this bar and there's a Kelly group, like him and his brothers and Alex Van Pelt at the bar. And Vic sort of fell in with them and left Leo and I sitting at the bar at the end of a long line of people, right? And at the elbow of the bar, like sort of ruling over the whole thing, are sitting Bruce and Thurman, right? And they keep buying shots for like a line of people that ends with Leo and myself, right? And after like maybe the third time the bartender poured us the drinks, maybe the fourth time Thurman yelled out, shots again, right down the line. The bartender stopped when he got to me and said back to Thurman, like yelled back to Thurman, are you sure, like who are these guys? Are you sure you want them in on this? And Thurman in this packed bar yelled out, do I know who that is? That's the blankety blanking Bulldog. And I was like, this is the coolest moment of my adult life right now. Like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. Right? So the night winds on. Eventually, Kelly and that group, they leave. And I think Vic left with them to go somewhere else. And Leo and I are sitting there, and it's getting late, and it's closing time. And we end up sitting at that corner of the bar with Thurman and Bruce for, like, I don't know, an hour maybe after closing. And the two of them talking and Thurman talking about pass blocking and Bruce complaining about guys going low.
Yeah.
And Thurman being like, dude, you weigh 280 pounds. I'm taking your knees out. Like,
yeah.
It was so animated. It was so awesome. And he was just not having it. Like, I don't care that you're worried about getting hurt. I got to get you on the ground. That's it. It was such a cool moment to be sitting there with the two of them like
that's
that.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Such a cool memory.
You know, for the caller, that's right. The game has changed like that, right? Whereas you the game is played way differently where you don't have these.
You can't block like that anymore.
That's right. And you don't have these workhorse backs. And a lot of times you don't have guys that are generally on the field all the time. It's the same thing on defense a lot. There's nickel defense. There's dime defense.
Right.
When we grew up, there was some of that. Some teams played it more, but it was pretty much 11 guys on the field, the same guys all the time, right?
Right.
That's the way it was played.
Right.
The game just changes.
Yeah, your base
yes,
defense was
100%.
That, yeah.
Right. 4-3. You're probably not four guys right. and three, or three guys and four, and go to town.
Third
Let's
and
go.
15, here comes nickel or dime.
That's right.
But that was pretty infrequent. I bet if you go back and look at the splits of, like, snap share and that kind of thing,
yep.
whoever the nickel and dime guys were probably played 10% of the snaps or
I
something
mean,
like that.
Even so much as... Do we ever even say strong safety or free safety anymore?
It's just safety. Right?
It's just safety.
Right. Thanks for the call. Aziz is up next. Hello. Thank you for calling. You're on WGR.
Hello. Thank you guys for taking my call. I kind of want to offer like a counter argument as to why, like, you know, James Cook is valuable. I know you guys don't debate that he isn't valuable, but I mean, like, I was looking at the highlights for the Chiefs game, and like he. You know, like that lunge, that play where he took that hit and lunged into the end zone.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
Amazing.
Don't you think, I've said this a few times, if they make the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl last year, there's a statue of James Cook outside the stadium.
With that pose.
Right, with that one, the left arm on the ground reaching the ball. Yeah. Like, it's an all-time moment.
I don't know how long I have for the call, but, like, you know, I think he is. He's one of the elite backs in the NFL, and, like, honestly, like, our offense after Brian Daboll left kind of sputtered, you know, and he kind of helped with the revitalization of the offense, you know, like, he adds a lot of value. Like, I was listening, like, they said we run the ball, like, 50%, you know, of the time, and, like, you know, he, like you guys said, he has become, like, a more of a complete back, and, you know, I just think the passing game is, you know, awesome, but also, like, you know, we need to lean on that, like, especially in the playoffs, and especially like you said, when the teams don't stack the box, you know, I think he's worth the money. You know,
Aziz, here's what I could offer you though. Okay, everything you're saying is right. I don't even think Brandon Beane would argue with you. The question is, how much is that worth relative to what you're paying the rest of your team and a $50 million quarterback, and comparably to the top running backs in the league who are getting paid like Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, and Derrick Henry are all the only guys making $15 million or more. I don't think Brandon Beane would argue with a darn word you just said, to be quite honest with you, Aziz. I think that what the argument is how much is that actually worth, though? Is that $15 million? Is it $10 million? Comparable to the league and how we structure our team.
Yeah. I really hope they work it out. Like, you know, I think he's a valuable piece to the team.
Yep. And,
you know,
no doubt.
You know, I mean, like, people say his attitude. I think he's just.
No,
like,
anybody saying anything about attitude to me is just nonsense. Yeah. It's sort of like we were just talking a few minutes ago before you called, Aziz, about, you know, it's just antiquated. Like, to hold it against a player trying to get the money when they can get the money is just it's just very old school, and it's just not the way the game works now. Thanks a lot for the call, man. Appreciate it. Have yourself a great weekend. We'll hit a timeout. Reverse AFC power rankings, anyone? You got a paper to rustle there?
I do.
Okay, let's fire it up. I gotta get it off the wall.
Some sort of NFC ranking is on here. Do you guys do NFC rankings?
So okay. don't misplace that. Mike has a filing system over there, which mostly is just like
throwing stuff over there.
Yeah, that's the filing system. All right, he's Sal Capaccio in for Mike. I'm the Bulldog.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Oh, yes. Now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Fresh off the practice field. No, that doesn't work. Practice ended hours ago. Sal Capaccio joins us from Rochester. That's better. Site of Bills training camp, St. John Fisher University. Sal's on the Wester hotline. Fresh off of, dude, you are just grinding out the content. I watched Hard Knocks. It was, listen, my son Owen wanted to watch it too, but he gets up and leaves the house at 4:30 in the morning to come here to do the video content producing for the morning show. So like he's someone who goes to bed pretty early. I get up in the summer to either go outside and ride my bike or go golf at like 5:30 in the morning. Making it to 9 o'clock took some doing. I'm just saying. But you get done with that, and then it's an hour of podcast, video casting with Matt Bove. It's always game day in Buffalo. I did watch your episode this morning because I was curious. Like, I watched it. I had my own thoughts, but I wanted to hear some more. So I watched that, and you just you never stop, Capaccio.
I appreciate that. It is a grind. You know, it's that time of year where we have a lot going on and we got to bring the content to the people. And that's what I'm here for, right? I mean, I try to really bring everybody as much information about the Buffalo Bills as they can. And you're honestly like today, it happens every day. But, you know, I walk through St. John Fisher. I walk through the parking lots or near the stands. And I can't tell you how many Bills fans come up and just say, hey, thanks for the content. Thanks for the information. And that just really makes you feel good. You know what I mean? Like makes you feel valuable to what you're doing and putting it out there. Right. And I love my job. You know that. I think we all love, we work in sports and we talk about sports and you've been doing it for almost 3 decades now. Right. I think
this is going to be my 30th Bill season.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. Congrats. And
thanks.
You wouldn't do that if you didn't, you know, love it. And I do this because I love it. And like last night I was super interested in watching Hard Knocks, but I know a lot of people want to talk about it. I always say, like, I can talk about the Bills every day. That's fine. I can talk about sports every day. The average person doesn't maybe get to do that. Maybe their outlet is listening to me. Maybe their outlet is talking to me. And I like to be there for that. So Matt and I had this idea. We were going to do a reaction show anyway. And I said, actually, why don't we do it live? Everybody's right there. They're on edge. They got their thoughts right there. Mm-hmm. Let's just put it out live. So we did. And we did the episode live. And Bulldog, we had over 8,000 viewers last night. It was unbelievable.
I didn't know how high the number got. I know it got into the 5,000s at one point while I was watching, and then I lost track. But, yeah, that's great.
Pretty cool, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, just to – I spent the first hour here talking about it. I certainly – any Bills fan it would have liked the show, and I certainly am enough of a Bills fan still, even though I've been in the media all this time, to, like, really enjoy and appreciate the show. But it felt like something that the Bills could have produced themselves mostly. Like, there was nothing – and I don't know, like – and, again, that's not – I don't mean that to come off as negative. I feel like Bove watching your video cast there talking about it was kind of in that sort of boat where it's just like I didn't get anything that, you know, maybe we don't. It's confirming priors. Deion Dawkins is awesome and has a monstrously huge personality, and you're gonna love him. And like, of course, right? Tre'Davious White. Everything that was presented is stuff I think mostly. Although I didn't know that Deion Dawkins had this hobby, you know, and the custom car and the drifting and all that. So I mean, I did learn stuff, but. There was, I had a guy at the end of last hour who said, I think they came off as boring, and I mean that in a good way, right? There's not any drama there. And I said, well, sure, but they chose to not mention Khalil Shakir's week-to-week high ankle sprain, even though they showed him Friday at practice, and there was footage from Friday's practice, and that's when that injury occurred. And there was no mention of the James Cook situation, and maybe the timing of that is why. But you could have even mentioned something about there being a question about him showing up or participating at the beginning of camp, and they didn't. So I think some of the boring was by choice.
Agreed. And I've said it. You just mentioned a little while ago. I was listening. The Bills do have, I think, pretty much total editorial control. Okay. But it's a back and forth, right? I mean, I don't think you want to be, we're not doing this, you're not doing that. I think, you know, when you work with NFL Films, you work with HBO and Hard Knocks, you know, you can do that and say, hey, you know, this is what we really want. And you kind of work together on all that. There's nothing wrong with that. So I think that's exactly what's happening. And yeah, the Bills aren't going to want to be painted in any sort of light that is, you know, portraying them in a negative way. And honestly, I don't think anybody in Hard Knocks is trying to do that. It's not a gotcha show. Maybe, you know, back in the day, there was a little bit more of that, right? When it was kind of fresh and new and we're all learning about the inside look at the NFL. And this is what it's really like for all these football players and these meetings and the coaches and all that kind of stuff. So that's true. But I thought last night was, very much like kind of like an embedded series, right?
Right.
Here is a great look at the Buffalo Bills off the field. I think if every episode goes like last night, it would be considered an unbelievably wild, successful series for the Buffalo Bills. Like, they would love it. Be like, yep, that's exactly what we were looking for. So no problem there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. But I wonder if HBO or even football fans who aren't Bills fans would be like, thanks for the 5 episodes of an infomercial about how awesome the Bills are. You know, because that's how that could come off eventually. Like, if I'm watching that show and it's about, I don't know, the Dallas Cowboys, and they're not telling me about Micah Parsons, and they're not telling me about any of the stuff, and it's just all, you know, how awesome everyone is, I'd be, to some extent, I'm going to roll my eyes at some point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that at some point you're going to probably get a little bit of, you know, consternation or something. There's got to be something about James Cook, right? You talked about how they didn't show it. And I do think it had to do with the timing maybe of the James Cook situation. Really the last thing we saw was them practicing in Highmark Stadium, right? And then the James Cook situation happened after that.
Right.
You know, he practiced at Highmark Stadium. So maybe that – I didn't know. I stuck around. There was no teaser for next week.
We got done watching it. And Owen and I looked at one another, you know, it's whatever, it's 10 o'clock, like, all right, I'm ready for bed. I just turned it off right away. And by the time I got upstairs to go to bed, I went back into the app on my iPad and watched the final sequence again in the credits because I thought maybe there'd be next week. But there was no trailer. I'm sure there will be one at some point here in the next few days once they have in mind exactly what they're doing because they have another week to come up with the next episode. But I thought there might be a little teaser, and that's where we'd see Cook and Shakir, you know, rolling around on a little scooter because his ankle's hurt or whatever. But yeah, there wasn't even that. So, but again, like sort of like again, like your podcast co-host was trying to intimate, like I'm not mad about it. I'm just objectively pointing out, like there's no way any Bills fan would have walked away from that thinking anything other than, man, my team is awesome. And, like, they love Josh Allen, and, like, everything's good here. And, again, there's nothing negative about that. It just, there was no presentation of any conflict or anything that could be perceived as a problem.
And even the Max Harrison injury was kind of like, hey, there was just this quick bit about it. They obviously showed how his teammates reacted, which I think was, you know, something that they wanted to make sure to show, like, you know, the love of the teammates, what they feel about him. There wasn't much about that. So I'm interested in next week. about, you know, Max, James Cook specifically and his contract situation and how all that plays out. But two things for you. Number one, I don't know if you noticed, I'm on video now. I'm saying hi to you. I said, you know what? I got a message over to Zach and G, and I said, hey, I'm in my dorm. And I haven't been on video through to say hi to the bullpen and let them see what's going on over here. It's really kind of boring. It's a cinder block dorm. It's Dorsey Hall. But you know the way it is. You've been here before. So yep. I wanted to say give that experience for everybody. But I did follow up on our conversation yesterday. I made sure to pay attention. The Hard Knocks crew does film all the 11-on-11. They do get to film everything. And okay. It makes sense, right? They're showing highlights that you normally wouldn't see. But I wanted to make sure because I hadn't really noticed in past practices. But, yes, they are basically filming everything all the time.
Right. On Tre'Davious White, I don't know if you heard me talking about him earlier, and I hope it made sense what I was saying. If you did hear it, you can hopefully tell me that it made sense. I feel like he has become a player now that he's back here, and there are now, I think thinking back to when he was signed, it was like, break glass in case of emergency. If the rookie doesn't, if you don't get the right guy in the draft, at least you've got some insurance, a guy that knows the system, you know, not high expectations. I think that's changed through 2 weeks of training camp to some extent for the fan base, hearing and seeing themselves how well he's performing and hearing him talk about how healthy he feels and how he was able to train and all that. And there might be some sort of rekindling of, you know, we've got vintage Trey White back here at this point. I feel like with the way his backstory, most of us already know it anyway from when he was here and he got hurt twice in devastating fashion. And now that he's being presented on this show the way that he is, and just naturally that personality is coming out, I feel like he has become a guy that if anything were to happen to him, I think a lot of us, our first thoughts will now be, oh my God, poor Trey White, instead of, oh no, what are the Bills going to do?
Yeah, I really like that. You know, his personality, if you've covered him when he's here as a reporter, but in this business, we've gotten to know him a little bit, some more than others. And you understood what kind of personality he is. Now, look, Bills fans themselves, the Trey White Goalie Academy, the gregarious personality, the fun-loving Trey, I think you got a glimpse of that. But there was a lot of stuff underneath about Tre'Davious White just as a human being and what he's all about and his family. And we've seen him, you know, grow with children here. Right? He had his children here while he's in Buffalo. And you've seen all that, him come from a young man to a man. And then he goes off. He has the injuries, obviously, and we saw and we heard and we were there when he talked to us a couple years ago about how devastating that was for him when he's trying to come back. And then they released him, obviously. I think that this show does two things. Number one, it brings all of that out for everybody even more so than they've already known, which is really cool. But I think number two, it's actually showing what we've been saying for a while, which is he's looked pretty good, Bulldog. Like, he's looked like Tre'Davious White, who can start in the NFL and play on the Buffalo Bills and be a really key component. Oh, by the way, he's going to pretty much have to now. But, you know, we'll go back to the first day of camp. Go back to really OTAs and minicamp. I remember OTAs and minicamp. I said, boy, he looks fresh. His change of direction is great. I need to see him just kind of be a little bit more sticky down the field. That'll probably come. You know, but right now he's just working on getting back to where he needs to get. And then we get here to camp, and when I would join you guys, I'd say, man, like Trey, he's looking good. He's making plays. And if you watched last night, I think you saw, like, he has that confidence and respect from his team, from his organization, that he is a qualified player to be a starter right now in this defense, right? This is not just, oh, it's Trey White and we're going to put him in. This is not, oh, it's a feel-good story. Like, he's earning this spot. And I think he earned the spot anyway, even if Max Harrison doesn't get hurt. Maybe for how long? I don't know.
Right.
But the way he's playing, he just would have been on the field until it didn't continue to happen like that.
I feel like that is how it was starting to sound right before Harrison got hurt. And I don't think I'm misremembering that. I feel like there was, you know, whatever, early enough on where some people observing practice like you are like, he's winning this job. Like, you know, the rookie's in tough. So, you know, now that Harrison's hurt, obviously now we're all thinking, you know, we got to count on him even more. But so far, I mean, so good. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline with us from St. John Fisher University. The Bills were, let's leave Hard Knocks over there for now. Back on the practice field today. I mean, if we have time, maybe I'll revisit a couple of different things that I've already brought up and get your reaction to them. But what was the story today as far as practice goes?
Well, I think the story was really roster moves today. Bill Inspector is no longer a member of the Buffalo Bills in most ways. He actually, I'll explain what happened. Bill Inspector, the large picture is for everyone that the Bills waived injured. They got rid of, they released Bill Inspector, the linebacker. And how many times have we talked about his availability issues? He just can't stay on the field. And look, he was having a good training camp, I thought, as far as fighting Joe Andreessen. But we had many conversations here of me saying, if it comes down to it, how much can you really trust him to be available, even if he does, you know, even sort of beat out Andreessen just by a little bit, because I thought Andreessen still had a great opportunity to win that job, even if both are healthy. He was fighting for it, and that's not going to happen anymore. He has played, I looked it up, Bulldog, out of 50 possible regular season games, he's played 26. Now, some of that was being a healthy scratch his rookie year, but he's been on injured reserve three times over the last two seasons, and then he got hurt again on Monday, and now the team has released him. So what does it mean? Waived injured. So because he is less than four years in the league, he gets waived. Any team can claim him, but they put an injury designation. So everybody knows he's hurt. Like, you can claim him, but he's hurt. Everybody has to know that. He might fail your physical, but you can still claim him. If he does not get claimed in 24 hours, he reverts back to the Bills. Then the Bills can either put him on injured reserve for the season, or they can give him an injury settlement right away, or put him on IR and then later give him an injury settlement, whatever. So he could still wind up being on the Bills in some capacity. That's number one. Number two, they get Dorian Williams back, which is obviously a really big deal. The linebacking core, you know, starting to come together. But even more so, kind of buried here, is Terrell Bernard is back taking 11-on-11 reps. Like, he wasn't doing that even on Monday when he returned, but now he was back there. So now you have, I think, your linebacking core where you need it and where you want it set, which is Milano at Will and Terrell Bernard at Mike, and then behind them is Dorian Williams at Will and Joe Andreessen at Mike. Shaq Thompson's still working back. I think that he factors in this. He could get a job. I just don't love – I haven't seen Eddie Ulofosio flash enough. I mean, at this point, I don't know if he's going to make the team. And then I would tell you that Matt Milano still looks incredible out here. He made a play today. There was a jet sweep to Elijah Moore, and Matt Milano got to that spot to tackle him like he was shot out of a cannon, and he couldn't even turn the corner. Like, he saw it, he diagnosed it, and he got there, right? That's Matt Milano. So that was great. A little bit later, a couple really nice plays on offense. Dalton Kincaid shined today. Today was a Dalton Kincaid day. One time down the seam, catches it, runs past defenders for a touchdown. Another time, the Bills actually tweeted this video out, if you take a look at it, coming into the corner, perfectly placed ball, catches it with his hands, gets into the corner. So that was a Dalton Kincaid day. Defensively, a couple really nice plays today. A couple underlying guys making interceptions. You had one from Dorian Strong and one from Keontae Jenkins. So, yeah, a couple of guys that made plays. I think Josh threw the one that Jenkins had, and I think Trubisky threw the one that Strong had, if I remember correctly.
We're going to make all of that your best of training camp today, if that's okay with you. Best of training camp during Sal's daily segment with us here on our show is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Get a Northtown Engine Shield engine protection warranty on new and used vehicles. Did the injury list shrink at all? You mentioned Dorian Williams back. Bernard's taken 11-on-11. Spencer Brown's been getting some work.
Yeah, that's
back
good
in,
news.
Right?
Big news so, today too.
So,
yeah,
right.
He did teamwork today for the first time.
Okay,
that's right.
Right. So I don't know. Maybe I heard McDermott on with Jeremy and Joe this morning say, like, you know, maybe it's starting to. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it felt like there was maybe some optimism about the list shrinking somewhat. But there still are a lot of guys that are probably in big question to play on Saturday, right?
Yeah, I would think so. And we don't know what their plan is for Saturday. Just to run through a few more. Deion Walker had an illness. He actually was on the field today. Taron Johnson had a vet rest day. He was back today. And Dane Jackson had a personal excused absence. He was back today. I mean, that's four guys you get back who weren't practicing at all. Then you obviously lose Spectre. But they did sign this young man who was the captain at Army, Jimmy Charlo. He comes in. He's going to wear 35 as a linebacker, Bulldog. How do you feel about that? He's wearing 35 as a linebacker.
That's a tough one. That feels like I don't want to say what I just thought. That feels like you're not making the team number.
Yeah, and I'm sure he probably realizes and figures that, right?
Right?
He's only getting here late in the process, and he's playing linebacker, but at least it's an opportunity. A lot of times these guys, their opportunities, just show us what you can do for a couple of weeks. Maybe we'll keep you on the practice squad because we like your potential and what you can do maybe to help out the offense on a scout team or something like that. But Yes. Otherwise, you're still waiting on, you know, Curtis Samuel to come back. You're still waiting on Cedric Van Pran Granger, Alec Anderson. Oh, that was the other thing. Khalil Shakir, we did see for the first time today since his injury. He had a walking boot on, but he was doing exercises with the trainers. Wasn't running. He had a walking boot on. He was doing like medicine ball and stuff, upper body stuff with the trainer. It's him, Alec Anderson, and Cedric Van Pran Granger. We're all there, and I guess you know, we've gone this far without mentioning it, but James Cook was not to be seen at all today. We did not see him anywhere.
Did you take the sign? They signed a lineman yesterday. Was it Dan Feeney? A lot of experience in the league. Some starts, a lot of starts at center. I think more at guard. But I wondered if that was not a bad sign for Van Pran Granger's availability eventually.
I would say there is a game coming up. You need bodies. You need preseason bodies. And I think because they're down in two interior guys, that's not only Van Pran Granger, but it's also Alec Anderson. You got to have guys to play, right? You got to put guys in there. This is kind of like, remember last year when they signed who was the Brown, the quarterback, and Ben DiNucci, right? Anthony Brown and Ben DiNucci. Then I signed both of them at the end, right, to play. Like, this kind of feels like that, where we need numbers. They released a guy named Jacob Bayer, I think is who they released, if I remember right. And he was a lineman. No, it wasn't. It was Rush Reimer. I'm sorry. Jacob Byers still on the team. Sorry to Jacob Byers' parents if they're listening. He's still on the team. yeah. Dan Feeney replaced Rush Reimer, actually. And Rush Reimer, I think, was probably not as much of an interior guy. So I think this was numbers, to be honest with you. And to answer your question, though, McDermott did say they're not expecting Cedric Van Pran Granger until maybe after Tampa. I mean, that's after the last preseason game. I think Cedric Van Pran Granger... My prediction right now, as I sit here with you right now,
he's in trouble.
Is that he starts the season on PUP.
Okay.
And therefore, that's going to be another 6 weeks. And maybe not. I mean, because if you're not getting any work and any time in, you're going to put him on the 53. You can do that. They can totally do that. They feel they're comfortable with him doing that. But they could also just transition him to PUP. Then it's only four games, not six, actually. Then he only has to sit out four games, and they can just use that time for him to get ready.
Ramp him up and get him going. Yeah. All right. Did I miss anything? Have you had the trade day Sunday, by the way? Have you tried?
I haven't.
No.
I'm going to be super honest with you. I have not been to the Pittsford Dairy this entire time in camp this year. And it's a great spot. I've been there before. But, like, I'm not Mr. Dairy guy. I like ice cream. Right. But I mean, a lot of people really like to go there, and it's a great spot. I just have not been here this entire trip because I am putting out so much content. I guess
you're so busy. You don't have time for Sundays.
To the Pittsford Dairy. So, no, listen, tomorrow's the last day of camp. And I mean, I could say this tomorrow, but everybody's just so awesome out here. The security who's out here, the people who are checking, like people walking around and they're, you know, making sure directing traffic and making sure people have proper badges. Most of them are actually teachers in the Rochester area. So shout out to them. Like, they're, you know, coming here, and this is kind of their summer gig, and they're doing this, and that's really cool. And I would say from real quick, Hard Knocks last night, I thought St. John Fisher looked amazing on television. I thought the area looked great. I thought the scenes, the red, white, and blue. And I even think by watching it, I had a thought, Bulldog. Tell me if you agree. I said this on the show last night. Do you think there might be some teams, some presidents, team presidents, CEOs, whatever, going, you know, we don't go away, but look at that, what they do there. Maybe we should think about taking our guys away for a couple of weeks. There are only a handful of teams that do that now. Yeah. It used to be the thing back in the day because of efficiency with all your facilities right there. But I think after watching that, if I'm on the outside looking in, I might go, you know, I think that might be something we should look at.
I think there's only five teams now that go away. If I have the numbers right, I could be off on that, but it's a very low number. So that's right. My first thought would be that might depend on how much that team president's owner has sunk into facilities at their stadium site, right? Like how comfortable have we made it to be here, and does it make sense for us to go somewhere else, or would we be limiting ourselves by going away instead of actually expanding on what we can do? But All right. Well, I'll let you go here, Sal. The Red Sox have passed the Yankees in the standings, by the way. I don't know if you...
Yeah, thanks, Bulldog. See you. Bye.
I don't know if you've noticed that or not. I just thought I would fill you in. It happened a couple days ago, but...
The Yankees are just terrible right now. It's absolutely terrible. It is just... It is full-on panic mode in New York City. It is full-on fire everybody mode in New York City right now. All Yankees fans. I'm getting texts from friends, literally all caps, fire everyone, !! 10 times. Like, that's what I'm getting on my phone.
They're tied with Texas right now in the bottom of the 6-2-2. So, you know.
Yeah, they'll blow it.
Okay, wow. That's the spirit, Sal. That is sports fan. That's Yankee fan, Sal.
Yeah.
Because you are one of the most optimistic people I've ever known, and I don't say that lightly, and I mean that as a compliment, of course. But to hear you, they'll blow it. You're in tough
I just
right
thought
now.
The same thing. I'm like, from Mr. Optimism, I'm saying they're going to blow it because that's just what happens with this team now.
Right. All right. Thanks for this, buddy. We'll talk tomorrow.
You got it.
There's Sal Capaccio, his training camp coverage, all of our training camp coverage of the Bills from St. John Fisher University is brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. We'll hit up a timeout here, reload some phone calls. You got to reaction to last night's Hard Knocks Bills debut. We'd love to hear you. 803-0550 is that number, and lines are wide open right now, so if you want to get in, you should have no trouble getting through. Again, Hard Knocks debuted last night. If you watched it and want to share your thoughts, please get in on it. Anything that's going on at practice that I can maybe fill you in on, opinions about position battles and different players that have caught your eye and whatnot, would love to hear from you. If you've been out there even yourself at practice, feel free to share your observations with us today. Again, 803-0550 is that number. Mike Tenier, our old friend covering the NFL, will join me at the top of the hour, but we got a half an hour here to just hang out and knock it around, so please feel free to call. Mike is away this week, along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
We're up there and like, here are the people on the panel, so I'm like taking pot shots at Brian Brom. Because, like, that's what he came to Buffalo for.
It's Mike Shope.
You literally told EJ Manuel to his face that he sucked.
And the Bulldog.
I was proud of you. Because I just...
I feel like that's what you're there for.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I know. I couldn't, though. No. I couldn't.
I'm better than you.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Cool to have you hanging with us here on WGR on a Thursday afternoon. Nate Geary sitting in for Mike Shope today. I am the Bulldog and very happy to welcome noted podcast co-host with our Sal Capaccio, as well as sports director from WKBW Channel 7, Matt Beauvais, to the West Hur Hotline. Matt, if I did this whole song and dance about this being the first time you were on the show 2 or 3 years ago and I forgot about it, I apologize. But I think this is the first time you've been on this show. Am I right about that?
I think you're right, and I think that's probably why I'm so unbelievably nervous right now.
Wow.
Because this is a big debut, and I'm a little bit scared. I don't want to mess it up and make it my last time.
I don't know why it's taken us this long. You've been under the umbrella for a while now with this podcast with Sal, and I just, I don't know.
How many times you can have Matt Parrino on, but not Matt Beauvais?
I know. It's on us. It's on me for not dialing you up. Anyway, man, congratulations on the series on the stadium, by the way. Like, that was, I know, had to be a labor of love for everyone involved, but you guys did a great job. I mean, home run city.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It was certainly fun to put together, and it felt like we needed to do something special getting ready for the final season. And I was like, you know what? We have this gap between when mandatory minicamp ends and when training camp starts. Why not do seven? I mean, it's Channel 7. Why not do 7 episodes on the stadium specifically? Just because when we get to this point, there's so many things going on and there's so much to talk about. So it kind of fit the void.
Yeah.
The interviews were awesome. Everybody was so excited to talk about it. And I feel like that's when you get the best stuff, right? When it's something that people are excited to talk about. And with the stadium especially, almost everybody can remember their first time there, the people who they were with, the favorite memories that they've had along the way, the favorite games they were there for. So it was just kind of something that we didn't need to screw up. And we're really happy with the way it pieced together.
Is there something or a few things that for you really stand out as the absolute peak highlights of the whole series? Or is that too hard a question to ask?
No, there's probably a couple things that stood out. Honestly, I appreciated some of the ways that people opened up that don't always open up. Like, Sean McDermott was really good with his interview and really candid about kind of sharing the story about how when the stadium is now no longer standing and he's no longer here, one day he hopes that his kids and grandkids will go there and look at the site and be like, hey, your grandfather won a lot of games here. And that's where he really kind of started to cut his teeth in the NFL. There was a longtime ticket worker, Deb, who worked for the organization, and I asked her, one of the first interviews we did, I just said, hey, what do the Bills mean to you? And she just broke down in tears and said everything. And then I looked behind me and everybody in the room was basically sobbing. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, but it would also so incredibly poignant that I was like, okay, this is going to be really good.
Yep.
And then getting Marv on the phone was awesome. As you know, somebody who, I'm from Western New York, so to hear the stories about Marv Levy and know the legend of Marv Levy, but we never interacted with each other. Marv Levy has no idea who I am, but I called him, and he was willing to talk about the stadium, and that was the first person we got to talk. And I was like, okay, like, we got Marv, we got Jim eventually, we got all the heavy hitters from the 90s, and then some incredible people from the current era. So it was, there was a lot of really good moments, but probably Deb breaking down in tears right off the bat was like, whoa, this is going to be pretty powerful.
Well, on to the 2025 Buffalo Bills and the Rochester portion of training camp and all the great ice cream and everything. It's all over now, so I know. Shed all your tears. I've never been, so I don't know. I've been to camp. I just have never been to Pittsford Dairy.
I feel like maybe we've both been.
I'm missing. I mean, how badly are we missing out, Matt? I mean, it's ice cream.
Okay. What you just said, I feel like, is an incredibly accurate take. It is delicious ice cream. There are a lot of places where you can get delicious ice cream. If you were at St. John Fisher University, it's really close by, and it's a really cool place to go. So it's certainly convenient, but it's not like I would make a special trip for it. I feel like there are places that are in Western New York, like our part of Western New York,
right,
that have just as good ice cream. So it's really, really good. But I also don't want to oversell it and be like, it's the greatest ice cream you'll ever have, because then I would be lying. And like we said earlier, it's my first time on the show, so I don't want to lie to you guys.
Fair.
Good first step.
So I'm usually at camp one, you know, it depends how many Sundays they play, and then I go out and do the show there on Sundays. And the last 2 years, it's only been once, because I have the Ganson tournament the following week, and they're usually there. So when I'm there, I get one chance. ice cream, I love ice cream, but I'm out there and I'm like, okay, this is my chance to get a garbage plate. I'm going to go do that. And if you've ever shotgunned a garbage plate, which is kind of how I would describe how I eat it, which is I feel terrible afterwards. I feel, and then I have an hour and 20 minute drive back home. There is no way in hell I'm topping it with a milkshake or any ice cream afterwards. So that's why I have
choices have to be made.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
you have to make the smart choices, and you know, obviously, what your body can handle and what your body can't handle. And I certainly would not be doing that combination if I was getting ready to go into a car. And by the way, congratulations on the Ganson win.
Thank you.
Talk of the town, Nate. So very, very well done.
Thank you, Bove. I appreciate that, man.
Talk of the town.
Yeah. Listen, I know it sounds.
I mean, he barely works here, Matt. You don't have to butter him up.
It sounds dramatic, but he's kind of right, Bulldog. He sounds dramatic, but it's pretty right. Yeah.
Matt Bove from Channel 7 and co-host of the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast with our Sal Capaccio on
Zach,
the Western.
Better not clip that out. Either,
on the Western hotline with us. So how about how this has gone so far? I mean, the injuries this camp have been maybe the story of camp, but fortunately, I guess Maxwell Harrison is the most serious of them, and even that isn't a season-ending type deal, so, you know, knock on something wooden here. They've escaped without anything horrible happening, really, but they've got a lot of like nickel and dime type stuff that's just eaten into practice time.
Yeah, the big one to me is Cole Bishop, and it's just because it didn't feel like he could afford to be missing any practice, but he has missed most of training camp. So now it's like, okay, when he comes back, is Taylor Rapp going to be back from his injury? And if he is, are they actually going to get any snaps together? Because it feels like the safety position to me is probably still the biggest question mark on the entire roster. So for Cole Bishop, he's probably going to start. I think that it's his job and it's Taylor Rapp's job. He just hasn't been able to get those reps, so that's concerning. The good thing about that, it's not a good thing. You don't want anybody injured. But with the Harrison injury, the way Trey White has played the last 2.5 weeks, I don't think he was winning the job anyway. I think that was going to be Tre'Davious White's job. So now it feels like he can kind of ease his way back into things a little bit, which is definitely nice. And then the only other, like, significant injury, even though there's a lot of injuries, the only other really feels like week-to-week one right now is Khalil Shakir. And Sean McDermott told me today, I asked the question, do you think he's going to be back by the start of the regular season? And he said he does. And Sean doesn't always really give timelines either. So that makes me think that they are pretty comfortably expecting Shakir to be ready to go for week one. So, yeah, I mean, the injuries are a topic because there are so many of them. And it might get really, really messy in this first preseason game with who they have out on the field. But it does feel like they've escaped, you know, anything super major and just anything that's going to really linger into the start of the regular season.
Matt, I want to stick with safety because I think it's a interesting position to the points you made with the injuries, and Rapp's kind of been in and out of practice, but he's mostly been there. It is disappointing. We talked about it with Sale last hour. It's been disappointing that he hasn't been available and in practice. The guy I think everybody is sort of asked about when I brought it up on Twitter a couple days ago, well, what about the Derek Forrest kid they signed? Like, he's started games in the NFL and looked pretty good for Washington a few seasons ago. And obviously, you know, the DeMar Hamlin conversation is difficult to have because I think that, of course, that they know that they can trust him if he's got to go out there and play. But I think the whole point was upgrading from him last year. And now we kind of sit at this position where I don't think any of us are here saying, like, well, Cole Bishop's not going to start because he hasn't been in practice. But I think everybody's wanted the Cole Bishop thing to run a little more smoothly. And his first action, he gives up a deep pass, which never happens in Sean McDermott deep. You know what I'm saying? Like, it hasn't been the best starts. And I felt like, to your point, it needed to be a strong start to this training camp.
Well, and that's the thing, that going back to the Harrison injury, he's going to have to deal with what Cole Bishop dealt with last year of, like, okay, how are you going to get ready for a season and be counted on when you don't have the snaps in training camp? And now Cole Bishop is dealing with it again. I mean, he's going into his second season and he's never had a full training camp. And I know that, you know, we're not talking about the biggest sample size here, but it's also not like it's the deepest room. Like, you brought up Forrest.
The only other name really in the mix that I think we need to pay attention to is Cam Lewis. Mm-hmm. I think in their minds, they're viewing Cam Lewis now as kind of a primary backup safety. So I don't even know if it's a guarantee that Forrest makes the roster. I think they might keep what they know in DeMar Hamlin, and then a player who's really versatile in Cam Lewis, because he can play safety and he can play nickel cornerback. And I know some people are going to be listening to this right now and they're groaning, oh, position flexibility, versatility, we're so sick of hearing that. Well, that might be the difference in keeping five wide receivers or six wide receivers. Mm-hmm. It might be the difference in keeping an extra defensive lineman after you deal with the Hoyt and Ogunjobi suspensions and those guys come back. So I think that they have to get a little bit creative there, but Colt Bishop being injured isn't doing them any favors. The only good news is it feels like he's close to coming back. So even though he did miss most of training camp in Rochester, he should still probably be back out there next week. So if he's back out there next week, he can get into a preseason game or two, probably play a ton of snaps. I'm still kind of mentally preparing myself for – okay, it's Cole Bishop, and he's lined up next to Taylor Rapp.
Yeah, I think that is a big spot to look. I mean, the Bills really went to work on this defense in the offseason. I mean, the draft picks and the free agents. I mean, it's there's a lot of new faces, but on that back end, like, there is a certain comfort in having gone through a year with Hamlin as a starter back there with Rapp, and you know he was. This show, we sort of have a thing with the word fine. Like, fine. How's your meal? It's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, I ate it. It was good. It could have been a lot better, but you know, fine. I'm fine. And I think Hamlin is like the very definition of how this show uses the word fine. But I think you want more impact plays back there, right? That's the idea behind getting Bishop out there. The athletic profile, everything should, if it hits, you should be able to get, you know, something in between what you had last year and what you had at like peak Poyer and Hyde, which I know that's a very high bar, but you want to get back to something closer to that than just sort of getting by.
Yeah, and theoretically, all of the effort and resources you put into the defensive line should also improve the safety play, just because the quarterback shouldn't have as much time to make something happen. So that's why it's like, okay, yeah, if you can get fine, that's not ideal. I think Cole Bishop has a higher ceiling, but I also think because of the rotation they'll have on the defensive line, because I think Trey White, right, which is crazy, I wouldn't have said this 2 weeks ago, I think Trey White now might even be an upgrade from what they got at the cornerback two position for a large chunk of last season. So now you've theoretically, like, once again, improved your corners, you've improved your defensive line, and you should have Matt Milano and Terrell Bernard playing together. So now I feel like if you have a couple holes, maybe they won't be so glaring just because you have improved in other places. I think sneakily this defense could be really good this year. I don't think it's going to be elite, but I think it's going to be much better than it has been, and they need that because the defense has failed them in big moments. But I'm starting to get the sense that the defense is better than the maybe outside of Western New York audience realizes or is giving them credit for.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Bernard because you tripped a wire there. I thought to say this a few minutes ago when we were talking more about Bishop, but what Bernard went through in his second year when he was, you know, designated as taking over a starter's role after Tremaine Edmonds left in free agency, he missed all of camp, and I think even the Orchard Park portion of camp, and wasn't really ready to go until shortly before the opener, and he got out there and just was making plays right away. And hopefully Cole Bishop doesn't miss that much time, but it's kind of similar to the situation that they were in with Bernard when he was, like, you know, taking over a starting role.
It almost happens every year that there is some random player who we're not talking about enough who kind of jumps onto the scene and really outperforms what their expectations were. And a few of the names that I think are the candidates for that are obviously Cole Bishop. He just fits the profile, second year, whatever. Dwayne Carter is another one. It's like, what exactly is Dwayne Carter? I feel like a lot of people have kind of overlooked him because they've added so many other people on that side. Maybe there's growth from Dorian Williams and whatever rotational role he is in, even though you really like Milano and Terrell Bernard. So I do think that's a good point, though, about, hey, let's not completely write off Cole Bishop because maybe he just needs a couple weeks and get familiar with the defense and not the actual physical side of being out on the field.
If you had to put a wager down on how the James Cook situation resolves, he just comes in and plays on his existing contract. They reach an agreement on something maybe like the Kyren Williams extension from 2 days ago, or he doesn't get an extension and chooses to sit out regular season games, where would you put your chips?
So actually none of the three. I think the most likely outcome is that they give him a couple million dollars almost to appease him and just get him back into the building. Well, he's already in the – I shouldn't say that. He's already in the building.
Yeah.
Get him back practicing and available and ready to go, and then they circle back to all of this next year just because the Kyren Williams thing makes sense to me. I understand that contract. There could be some similarities there. But the big difference – and some people might not like this. Some people might think that James Cook is way better than Kyren Williams. And I don't think that's crazy. Kyren Williams is on the field all the time.
Yep.
He is on the field more in that offense than pretty much everybody besides their offensive line and Matthew Stafford. James Cook isn't on the field more than half of the time. So today, Josh Allen is talking about, hey, we really hope we get something done with James Cook. We desperately want him. And then a minute later, he says, I think Ty Johnson's the best third down back in the NFL. It's like, okay, for sure. Right. But if you think Ty Johnson's the best third down back in the NFL, you're not taking him off the field. So are you willing to give James Cook what he's asking for to be a player who, let's say he even increases his workload 60% of the time? Is he worth $11, $12 million? I don't know the answer to that. If you could get him around that price, I'd be fine doing it for 2 or 3 years. I don't think that would be a bad move. But I'm certainly not going higher than that, and I'm certainly not going longer term than that. But that's just me. But I think what ultimately happens is they write him a couple million-dollar check, they add it onto his contract, he comes back, he plays, and then they reevaluate because, I mean, he's not going to get 16 rushing touchdowns again. There's going to be some touchdown regression, and then maybe it's a number that is easier to fit into your kind of formula moving forward.
So the other guy that this year I think a lot of the conversation around outside of Keon Coleman, because I think he was probably front and center as the guy that everyone had been talking about and needing a good camp this year, and by all accounts is definitely having that camp and a lot of highlights for Keon Coleman. The other guy is Dalton Kincaid, and I know I think yesterday or maybe it was this morning goes down late in practice with a little bit of, I think it was a knee, but nobody really made a big deal out of it after practice, but or maybe his ankle, maybe that's what it was. Where are you, Matt, with his role on this offense going into this year, and just how important is his change for you, his importance, him being good as the important piece to how this offense maybe gets better than they were last year going into this year?
Probably the two guys you mentioned are the two biggest X factors I have on the entire offense. I think I would still trust Dalton Kincaid a bit more than Keon Coleman. That doesn't mean that I don't think Keon Coleman can be an effective player. I just think the skill set for Dalton Kincaid and the lingering injuries he had last year were probably more significant than we think. And it's easy to go back to the AFC Championship game and that ball in the air and hitting the ground and that leaving a sour taste in everybody's mouth because, you know, it's a play he probably should be able to make. But I still think Dalton Kincaid has a big role in this offense. I don't think – would any of us be shocked if Dalton Kincaid leads this team in targets this year? I don't think any of us would be shocked. That's not happening with Keon, right? So that's why I think he is legitimately the biggest X factor, because if you get a – rookie year Dalton Kincaid version plus a little bit of improvement, we're talking about a really effective and useful tight end. So I don't exactly know what they're going to do on offense and how much 12 personnel they're going to run and how much Dawson Knox is going to be involved. So I don't know if he's ever going to be, you know, a guy who's getting 120, 130 targets or a Trey McBride or anything like that. But I do think that this could be a sneaky big year for Dalton Kincaid. So I do really think he's a huge X factor for them.
All right, Matt, how'd it go for you? How do you think you did? Let's get your grade. Let's get the judges' grades out here. How do you think it went?
I think it was fine.
I think he was fine.
That you know what that does? That gets you another call.
Yeah,
that's exactly what that gets you. Is there anything you got coming up here on the TV side of things you want to promote here, or are you done after this stadium series?
No, so thank you. I appreciate you guys having me on. So yeah, Monday nights we have our show Leading the Charge. The stadium series was running in place of that for the last 7 weeks. But we're just kind of getting ready for football season. It'll be myself. It'll be Joe Biscaglia, and then a guy named Howard Simon.
Oh, that's the show. Howard's on. I can't watch that. No.
So that'll be
the glare from his head is just too much. I can't. No.
He keeps us, you know, on our toes for sure. It's a good thing that there's about a 5 second delay because sometimes he'll get really, really heated, which is always super fun to watch
Howard?
And be next to while it's really, really enjoyable because it feels like if, you know, I'm at a certain level, he will bring us all to a different level when he especially gets angry. So yeah, we're doing those every single Monday night. During the season it's 7 to 8. Right now it's 7:30 to 8 o'clock. And then yeah, just all of our work on Channel 7, WKBW.com. We're jumping in the deep end with Bill's coverage.
Does Howard still sit there on set with a yellow legal pad?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
that's all I needed to
Nothing
know.
Nothing changes.
All right. Yeah. No. I
that
goes back to the summer of 1994 when I interned for him at WBEN. The yellow legal pad is still. And for years I did the same thing because you know protege.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. All right, Matt. This was really enjoyable for us. Let's do it again soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
That is Matt Beauvais, sports director from WKBW Channel 7, also co-host of the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast with our own Sal Capaccio. We'll hit a timeout here and come back for lots more. A lot to digest from our conversation with Matt. Nate Geary's in for Mike. I'm the Bulldog. This is WGR.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
One more sleep until game day is what I've got in there.
Yeah, baby.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
Preseason football.
Right? Can we just agree? Can we just agree? I'll just say what I always say about preseason. This happened with the Hall of Fame game, and it will surely happen tomorrow leading up. All right. Preseason game. Good. Let's go. about 115, 120. What are we doing here? What am I investing my time in here? What is happening here? It's always the same. Like you get excited for the whatever the new threshold is that means football is creeping closer. You get excited for it, and then just kind of like, all right, what else is on? When do the real games begin? Because I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to be taking notes on how Landon Jackson's bend is coming around the edge. Although he is someone I am very interested to see tomorrow. So I'm, you know, it's going to cut both ways. I'm curious about some guys, but overall, the preseason is just. You know, leaves you wanting nothing more than guys getting off the field healthy.
But the buildup is good.
Sure.
The buildup is good. It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's like training camp, right? You build up. You're there. Okay. All right. When do we go home? When are we going back to Buffalo, right?
I mean, there's only so many milkshakes I can have here.
When are we getting to the first preseason game?
Right.
It's like the draft. Build up. Oh, my God. There's a lot of stuff building up to the draft. And then suddenly it's over, and everybody you thought about is on other team. You don't care about anymore.
Right.
You're like,
right.
Heck with that guy. We didn't want him. What about our guy?
It's just all filed away so that, like, 3 years later when the guy's name comes up,
you
go, TCU, right?
Yeah. Right? I liked him a few years ago coming out.
I remember him. Arkansas, I think. Yeah.
It's the same thing with preseason. I think it's that buildup of, to me, it's a little bit of psychological, which is you see them on the field. You see them playing. It brings you to a spot where you know you're almost there. You're almost to week one. Football's here. We have football every weekend now. You can start talking about all of these things that you've been kind of having tertiary discussions around for the last several months. And I think that's what tomorrow is. It's for me, too. It's a back to a routine, right?
Right.
And especially because it's a 1 o'clock game tomorrow. It's like a Sunday 1 o'clock game.
Right.
I was just talking with some people today about how we'll treat it just like a Sunday 1 o'clock game, and all the things that we normally do on a Sunday, we're just going to do on a Saturday, which is good for us to get back into our routine on the radio broadcast and going to the stadium,
the timing
for everything there. So for me, that's a big part of it. And yeah, I'm excited to see some new guys and what they're looking like and how that all kind of comes together a little bit.
In case you can't tell, Sal Capaccio is here in studio with me. I am the Bulldog. Mike's final day of vacation is today. We'll be back together on Monday, assuming nothing goes haywire from from now until then, but you never know. Anyway, so Sal's here for the full ride today. I'm grateful to have you alongside, especially because tomorrow is the first preseason game, and I think, you know, I don't have you posted keys to the game or
not yet.
Anything? Players to watch, or
that's the preseason thing. The preseason is the what to watch for,
right?
The regular season is Sal's keys because now you want to win the game, right? What to watch for is what are you keeping an eye on? Who cares about the scoreboard,
right?
What am I watching? Who am I watching,
right?
And because we kind of know already that certain guys are playing or aren't playing, it makes it even a little bit more, you know, it narrows it down a little bit, the focus of what you're looking at,
right? We are getting starters for a little on both sides of the ball, right? So that
I didn't hear anything about the Giants yet. Did you hear that today?
No, I don't know.
I don't know that either.
I just mean on the Bills offense and defense, ones are playing some.
Zach,
right?
Have we heard anything on the Giants? Have they put anything out yet that you've seen today?
I have not seen anything yet.
Dable had been kind of close to the vest, and I even talked to Paul Dottino. Paul called the Bills-Jets game a few years ago in New York because Murph was out that week.
Right.
He's the fill-in. In New York, he's doing this game tomorrow here in Buffalo. He called me. He's like, hey, what do the Bills got? And then we kind of worked through that, and he said, Dable hasn't said anything yet.
Right.
Like,
other than Jackson Dart is going to play but we don't know even who's starting necessarily.
No, we don't at this point, unless something's come out that I didn't see today. But yes, for the Bills, starters other than Josh Allen and injured players or players coming back from injury pretty much who haven't had a lot of ramp-up time, they will be on the field probably for about, I would guess, I don't know, at least a few series, a quarter, something like that. But that a lot of times depends on how they play sometimes, too.
Right.
You know?
Sure. Yeah, if the offense has a really good first drive, maybe that'll be it. Like, if they go 10 plays, 70 yards, score a touchdown, then maybe the first unit, aside from the quarterback, but maybe then they sit down and, like, that's the end of the day for them. And maybe the same goes for the defense. You know, if they knock the Giants down and on all series or maybe two, because I think you'd want, like, that's a little different, right? If you give up a long drive, maybe that's enough for the defense. But if you go three and out, you stop them three and out, you probably go back out there a second time, see if you can do it again.
Yeah.
Because you want probably more than just three snaps from those guys if they're going to play in the game.
I think so. You know, with the way the Bills rotate their D linemen, you know, who's a starter, who's not. Yeah, you might get the starters, and then you might get a little bit more of the backups mixed in with linebacker starters, right? So probably after those first few plays, you're looking at something a little bit different. They're also pretty banged up around a lot of spots, especially safety. Both their safeties are out.
Right.
Both their presumed starting safeties are out.
Right.
Taylor Rapp, we know, and Cole Bishop, and that's been an issue, obviously. So what does that look like? Terrell Bernard just got back this week, so doubt he's going to get much time. But Matt Milano will probably be out there.
Yeah. Now, see, both he and Tre'Davious White, I recognize that they're not quarterbacks. They're not Josh Allen. And the, you know, if you want to get them some reps, then this is as good a time as any, I suppose. Man, I sort of feel like I might lean more towards Sean McVay than you do, which is just he's been pretty well known for not ever playing any of the starters at all in the preseason. And to me, a guy like Milano, hearing all these reports about how incredible he looks in camp, like all the way back, and to an extent, the same goes for Tre'Davious White, I think, right?
Yep.
I'd be inclined to sort of treat them like Josh Allen if I were in charge. Like, you know what? This is going great. I am not going to expose you to anything unnecessary. And to me, I guess I would qualify playing a preseason game against the Giants tomorrow as unnecessary for those two guys. We know who they are. We know what they can do. And if they're healthy right now, man, I want to sort of like bubble wrap that and save it for September myself.
I don't disagree. I think Sean McDermott feels probably a little bit different, that they want to get them a little bit of time. Because even Josh Allen is on the table this preseason. I mean, he could play.
Right.
Right? He could play next week, maybe, in week two. It wouldn't be week three, I don't think. He could play next week. And if Josh Allen could be on the table, I think anybody could be on the table. But I agree with you, right? And maybe even, to me, it's got to come down to maybe to the communication with those players. Hey, Tre'Davious, you know, what do you think? Hey, Matt, what do you think? You know, how much do you need? And those guys may say, I'm good, coach. If you want me to play, I'll get the reps. That's great. Or they may say, hey, I'm feeling great. I don't think I need to go out there. I think a lot of that has to be communication. I think especially with these veteran players. They've been around a while. They've been with Sean McDermott a long time. You can have that communication. Obviously, Trey left and came back. You know, I would rather see them not out there and risk anything. But sometimes players want to do it.
Right.
So there's something to be said for players sometimes who say, I want to go out there and get a few reps under my belt.
Right. Because as much as you can get out of what happens at the because I've never been to the controlled scrimmage situation, the joint practice situation, like they'll have next weekend, right? Is that Friday in Chicago they'll be doing that? I've never attended that, and I'm reading accounts today. Funny enough, the Bears and Dolphins are doing that in advance of tomorrow's preseason game, and it's been really physical from what I've read online. Yes. I've seen reporters from both teams tweeting, like, it's been aggressive. There's been, I don't know, like punches, but it's been kind of nasty. So are those opportunities, like if Matt Milano comes on a blitz, is he tackling Caleb Williams next Friday, or is the quarterback is still, so it's still that pull up? See, that might be the singular value of playing in a preseason game, is just to be able to actually finish a rep.
Right, like the guy did last night against Richardson. I didn't see who did it. Maybe you know, but I watched the highlight many times with the sound off wherever I was in some room. I see this. I'm like, man, look at that. What happened? I scroll past Twitter. Right. Oh, my God, look what happened.
If that's a joint practice, he's not hitting Anthony Richardson.
That's correct.
The play's probably blown dead.
Correct.
Because he's in clean, but you're not. Yeah, right.
In a joint practice setting, the quarterbacks are wearing red, and it's the same rules you have in the regular practice settings. However, that said, there's a little bit more risk involved because the guy on the other side of the offensive lineman is going hard to make a play. And if he gets close, he's not as worried about hitting the other team's quarterback. He knows he shouldn't, but he's trying to make the team.
Right.
He's trying to show what he can do.
Right.
So there is a little bit more risk, but the rule is don't touch the quarterbacks.
But what about other ball carriers, like receivers, running backs? Are they getting tackled fully in a joint practice setting?
That is totally up to how you want to run the period.
Okay.
And you could definitely do that between the two sides. If I remember correctly, I don't think the Bills and Steelers went live very much like that. They did up thud.
Right.
Like, they didn't take to the ground last year. It might have been maybe a period or two, but there wasn't a lot of that.
Well, that does sort of translate to why I'm most interested in seeing some of these depth defensive linemen tomorrow. Like, yes. That is not usually, like, the sexiest, you know, where are the new pass catchers? Do we have a new running back? That kind of thing is usually what I think a lot of fans, I myself included, treat the preseason for. I think there's so many new faces and bodies on that defense that, you know, not necessarily in the start.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Group, although Joey Bosa is new, and that'll be our first look at him, but you're talking about Michael Hoyt and Ogunjobi, who are going to miss the first six games. You're talking about TJ Sanders and Landon Jackson and Deion Walker, all draft picks that, to varying degrees, like, you know, I'm really interested to see what kind of impact you can maybe start building and hoping for once the regular season gets here, and seeing them be able to play in a situation where they can finish plays, I think is pretty interesting.
And I will tell you that the Bills are very excited to see that too, because this is kind of what you're referring to from a fan. It's the same with coaches. Hey, they've been able to do A, B, and C out here. What happens when in that stadium and there's fans and there's a guy on the other side that's trying to eat his lunch to prove that he belongs in this league and what he can do? Like, that can really kind of separate a lot of guys here, right? And we all know the stories over the years, whatever players you want to think about or say. I think Dez Lewis comes to mind, right? Man, was he good in shorts and T-shirt. Just when the games came on and he just couldn't be physical enough in a game situation as a wide receiver, that just didn't happen. Whether that's at linebacker or somewhere else. I think that coaches want to see the exact same thing you're saying. And I'll tell you, just from conversations I've had, Bills coaches and front office are very optimistic and excited what they've seen from this rookie group, this young defensive line group. But now you got to do it. Like, I'm excited what I've seen from you in camp. Let's go translate, because anything can happen after that.
Yeah, I feel like, to me, Jackson is the one that I'm most curious about, just because I feel like edge, I'm not sure still what I've got there. I'm counting on Joey Bosa, and that can be, you know, a little unnerving because of his injury history. And if I'm really, I know there's all kinds of different ways you can get to the quarterback, and we'll see if the Bills sort of build a different beast this year from a, you know, just a strategic standpoint, where they use some different things with this new defensive line assistant coach Nielsen here, and if there's more blitzing and just different packages designed to confuse opposing offenses a little bit more. But edge and getting to the quarterback is still, I feel like we're right there still. It's been 5 years since the first AFC title game appearance and loss to Kansas City, and it became, we got to get this guy on the ground. And they really have still not really ever done that.
Agreed.
Right? Von Miller showed it in the one regular season game he played against Kansas City, and like, okay, maybe this will work, right? He was the closer in that game in the fourth quarter, but then he got hurt, and that was the end of that. So I'm still looking for somebody that I can count on there. Bosa's obviously at the top of the list, but I feel like other guys, you may need someone else to sort of break through to complement Rousseau and Epinesa, and that's why I think about Jackson, who right now, with how many guys there are, especially once Michael Hoyt is off his suspension, I feel like Jackson has to force his way into the rotation if he's going to be counted on in the regular season. Because right now, I'm not sure he'd get a jersey if we were looking at a regular season game.
Agreed. And I know what you're saying, but just so everybody's clear, making the team but being inactive on game day.
Right.
Hardly scratch, right? I agree with you. I do think because of the Hoyt suspension, it kind of makes it maybe a little bit more possible that could happen.
Right.
But as I sit here right now, if everybody's healthy, he's the odd man out. Unless you get to a point where A.J. Epinesa is not in your team because you just have too many guys, and that's right. The guy that you say, okay, we can move on from. Because I'm going to be honest, I think Javon Solomon has had a nice camp.
Right.
And he's in his second year. And he's a guy that I think he can provide a little bit of juice off the edge, right? So, yeah, Landon Jackson's probably that guy who, well, he's either going to be active, he's going to be on the roster, but we have to decide who's active, who's not active. I'm interested to see Deion Walker. Deion Walker is just such a massive human being and such a good athlete. I want to see what that looks like in a real setting against other NFL players who are trying to block him. And if this kid came out the year before he did, many thought he'd be a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Went back to Kentucky, has the back injuries. Nobody really knows he has the back issues. Just had a down year. Oh, they were discovered at the end of the year. Man, he's had back issues. If he didn't have back issues, maybe that wouldn't have impacted the way he played. I like what I've seen from him. I like what I hear from mm-hmm. people, what they see from him. But I want to see what he can do in this setting as well, because I think if you have a guy like Deion Walker who can really do the things they need to do, that can really kind of free up some of those other guys you're talking about as well.
Sure, yeah. I mean, he's even a bigger body than Daquan Jones. Daquan Jones has been like that guy,
yes.
right? And the one technique guy. Walker, what, 6'7", 300, what are we talking, 40?
Right.
Like, he's just a massive, massive dude who gets a lot of credit for being very light on his feet for someone that size. So that, yeah, he is a super intriguing guy. I wonder, you mentioned A.J. Epinesa. I'm thinking about Dwayne Carter, a third-round pick from last year. With all these people that are sort of replenishing the defensive line and the defensive tackle position here, Ogunjobi and Sanders and Walker, I wonder about a guy like Carter. Like, is there, assuming Daquan Jones, who I don't think I've heard one thing about one play he's been a part of during camp so far, which that doesn't have to be bad. I have to kind of remind myself, oh, yeah, he's still, like, the starter at that position next to Ed Oliver. I just wonder about Dwayne Carter if there's even room for him, too, with all the new bodies. Again, Ogunjobi, much like
right.
Hoyt with Jackson, provides some runway for the first few weeks of the season, but eventually they're going to have to make some tough decisions there. And that's a third-round pick from last year. I just don't know where I'm putting him if Deion Walker sort of – not that they're playing the same style game or anything, but it's another body at defensive tackle. I just wonder if there's room, because obviously Sanders is on your team. Oliver and Daquan Jones, I assume, are on the team. Ogunjobi, they're going to go through the suspension. He's going to be on the team. I mean, how many defensive tackles am I keeping on my team?
I agree with you. From where's the room, I just could – it'd be stunned me to see them move on from a third-round pick.
I know.
Right? So I think that they – still have plans for Deion Walker, right?
Yep.
The guy I think about is Daquan Jones, actually, for this, which is he only has 1 year left on his deal. You could save $5.5 million by releasing him. Is that a guy?
Mm-hmm.
To me, you probably financially would make more sense to do that. And if everybody starts showing and doing well, maybe that's where you go and say, okay, like, what are we getting out of this
right.
guy here? Like, to me, that would be more of the guy. I'd be stunned if it was Dwayne Carter, but it is the exact same conversation as Landon Jackson.
Yeah.
Because they both have one guy who's suspended for 6 weeks at that position that gives you six. Without that guy, it's five. They can keep 10 guys to have one from each position game day inactive. They've done that before. I think ideally you probably want nine, maybe, but they've done 10 before. So I think you have the five, but what happens when you have six? And that sort of sorts itself out as the season goes on.
I feel like if for Daquan Jones to be in the crosshairs like you're referring to here, like potentially, you know, save the money and move on, that would mean to me, depending on what they want to do, like we'll see if they still want as often as they have in past years, the big one tech type guy with Ed Oliver, or do they want a little more upfield like Sanders and Oliver as a tandem maybe? But I feel like Deion Walker, if he can show that he can do the job that Daquan Jones has been doing for them, then maybe that equation spits out a result where Daquan Jones is looking for work at the end of August or early September.
Yes, his future could depend on just those guys being, hey, we're comfortable here, right? I don't know. It's going to be really interesting. So tomorrow, we'll see. Do the Giants play their starting offensive line? That's a great test for these guys. We could see right away. You made a point about Jackson Dart earlier. He's going to play. We don't know if he's going to start. So now you'll get 3 years in a row, Jackson Dart this year, Caleb Williams last year, first ever NFL action.
Right.
Anthony Richardson the year before.
That's right.
First ever NFL action. The list is long for guys who have had their first ever starts against the Bills. We can go through it. But, I mean, just in the last 3 years, even it's preseason, you're talking about three first-round picks getting their first action right here in Orchard Park.
Right. We will have some time. We don't really have much now, and we've got a guest coming up at 3:30 and then again at 4 o'clock. Sam Paniatovic, a regular with us from Bet Sweats at 3:30, and then our buddy Chris Trapasso will join us at 4. Eventually, we'll get around to talking with fans, if you're up for it, like who you're excited to see, these position battles that Sal and I are talking about. Really, all we've done so far is talk about the defensive line position, but we'll jump around the roster and certainly are open to hearing from you once we get up and running and clear of these guests. Clear of these guests makes it sound like I can't wait to get done with them. I think you know what I mean. Just free up the show to take some calls from folks at 803-0550 with the preseason game coming tomorrow. Should be a great day, right? I mean, the forecast just looks spectacular. If anything, maybe it's going to be just too hot. I don't know, but still, really nice. Should be a really fun day, and hopefully lots of kids get a chance to get out to the stadium one last time.
Yeah, and it's the last preseason game ever inside the stadium, right? I mean, so it'll be interesting, and not that has to mean anything, but you're right, because a lot of people don't take their kids to regular season games. And if you're going to just say, hey, that's the time, tomorrow's it.
Right. 803-0550 will be the phone number as we get rolling here. As I said, once we get through with Sam and Chris, eventually we'll squeeze out a version of Reverse AFC Power Rankings. Have you ever been a part of Reverse AFC Power Rankings, Sal?
I have. Okay. I've done it before, yes.
I wasn't sure. I have not done it.
It might have been. Maybe not even last year.
Been a while.
Or in the beginning of last year at some point. Okay.
Right. Well, we'll get through that. We've been doing that on Fridays in the summer here. So
I've heard other people and some of their takes on these teams, so I'm excited to get mine.
We will we'll get around to that maybe at 5 o'clock or so, or 5:30, depending on how things go. But anyway, Sam Paniatovic, Bet Sweats coming up. We'll get some, there's always NFL futures that we're talking about. He's got some ideas about pairing up first and second place in divisions instead of just division winners. So we'll get into that and talk about some baseball, maybe some futures for playoffs now that the baseball season is into August here. So that's all coming up after this. Sal Capaccio is in for Mike. I am the Bulldog, and you are listening to WGR.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.